Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one inimitable page of Talmud each day. And on today's pages, Bava Metzia 9 and 10, we learn one of those unexpected lessons that the Talmud sometimes sneaks up on you without you really even knowing. Here it is. In any event, it is taught in the Baraita, or one who is pulling and one who is driving, which indicates that pulling and driving are indeed effective modes of acquisition, but sitting in a riding position on an animal is not. So, the rabbis are talking about a case in which two people are fighting over an animal. One says, "Hey, this is my donkey or my horse or whatever," and the other says, "Nah, man, it's mine." How can you tell? Well, say the rabbis, it comes down to the manner of acquisition. Tying a rope around the donkey's neck and leading it, that's a form of acquiring the donkey. Climbing on the donkey's back and riding it, ditto. But merely sitting atop the donkey and letting it take you wherever it would like? Nope, not at all. That is not, the rabbis say, not how you acquire an animal. It may sound a bit silly, and if so, apologies, but I think there's a crucial life lesson here. Because the donkey, if you will, is really a metaphor for life itself. With apologies to Forrest Gump, life is like a donkey. You only truly have a life if you're actively, purposefully, intentionally leading it. Or, put even more bluntly, think of your life as a beast of burden. Do you wake up every morning, tie a rope around its neck, and lead it precisely where you would like it to go? Do you hop on it, grab the reins, say, "Giddy up," and gallop towards your destination? Or do you just lazily climb on board and just, you know, sort of just let it kind of amble wherever it would like, stopping and starting whenever it wishes? The Talmud vigorously suggests the former. Our wise ancestors were very, very big advocates of a life of action, which is funny if you remember that they were all wise and learned rabbis. When we think of wise and learned rabbis, we think of studious and bearded men or serious and smart women hunched over their leather-bound volumes, living holy lives and experiencing great, big intellectual and spiritual dramas that unfurl mainly in their hearts and in their minds. And yet the rabbis believed that only a well-balanced life was a life worth living. And they riffed about it famously elsewhere in the Talmud when talking, as it happens, about this week's Parsha, or the Torah portion we will read in synagogues this Shabbat. If you're listening to the show on the day of its release, you are on the cusp of Parashat Vayakhel, which is all about building the Mishkan, or God's temporary earthly dwelling place. Talking about the Parsha in Tractate Brachot, the rabbis tell us a story of a strange kind of quarrel between Bezalel ben Chu, the wise-hearted artisan who built much of the Mishkan, and none other than Moses himself. Here goes. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said that Rabbi Yonatan said, Bezalel was called by that name on account of his wisdom. When the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moses, "Go say to Bezalel, make a tabernacle, an ark, and vessels," Moses went and reversed the order and told Bezalel, "Make an ark and vessels and a tabernacle." He said to Moses, "Moses, our teacher, the standard practice throughout the world is that a person builds a house and only afterward places the vessels in the house. And you say to me, make an ark and vessels and a tabernacle. If I do so in the order you have commanded, the vessels that I make, where shall I put them? Perhaps God told you the following, make a tabernacle, ark, and vessels." Moses said to Bezalel, "Perhaps you were in God's shadow, Bezalel, and you knew precisely what he said. You intuited God's commands just as he stated them, as if you were there." Sure, the rabbis tell us, Moses was the great man of God, our great teacher, the one secluded on the mountaintop with Hashem, the one who is the conduit of the divine. But Bezalel was the man of action, the one who was practical, realistic, earthbound, the one who realized that there is an order and a way of doing things here on earth, and the one who would end up doing them. Have only the former, only the secluded spiritualist, and you're what we call a Luftmensch, a person who lives up in the air, a space cadet. Have only the latter, and you're just a worker bee, not really that different from that beast of burden. To live life in all its glory, you need both. You need spirit and you need action. And when you have them, the spiritual and the practical together, and if you take action and care and drive life precisely where you would like it to go, you too will be standing Betzel El in God's benevolent shadow. This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butney, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.